This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I want to talk to you a little bit about scope creep. Now, scope creep is something that we've all experienced in our agencies, be it from just extra small bits of functionality that get dropped in, or extra requests that get dropped into projects every now and then, right through to clients that seem to just be asking for more and more and more. And the result of this is that sometimes we feel like we're being held captive to our own invoicing simply because we haven't got XYZ list of things done. Most of that list we weren't even expecting to do in the first place. So what I wanted to do today was talk a little bit about what scope creep is, why it happens, and then how we deal with scope creep in our agency. So firstly, what is scope creep? Well, scope creep is the term given to the process of offering free work to clients and including that within other projects. So this might be additional services, it might be extra work, it could be that things become more complicated or unforeseen circumstances, or it could just be that the client asks for things all the time and the list just seems to get bigger rather than getting smaller. In my experience, scope creep happens, and I'm sorry to do this, but I do have to sort of turn the mirror background onto the agencies at this point. But scope creep happens because agencies don't have the processes in place, or they haven't been thorough enough to lead a client through their process. Now, I've spoken about this before, normally in terms of sales and marketing, but actually it applies to project management too. It is not up to the client to know how your process works and to understand the process or the information that you're going to need, how you're going to need it supplying, all of that kind of stuff. That is part of your job. And that is why it's so important that you have your project management down and that also you charge an element of project management with every project that you do, because this stuff takes time and it needs to be done right. So how do we do this in our agency? Let me first start by talking about small projects. So by a small project, I'm talking about, you know, a tweak or a fix to this, or maybe an additional function, I don't know, a new pop-up or something to a website that we've already built a few months ago, years ago, whatever it might be. Or it's just something that, you know, now that they've seen a staging site or something, that they want something changing away from the additional brief, the original brief even. So in our agency, we have two separate approaches to this. The first is that we quote by our hourly rate, and then we would invoice once the work is complete. So that means that we're not actually providing a price up front, but we're saying, yeah, sure, we can do that. We'll charge you whatever per hour, and when we're done, we'll just let you know how many hours we've spent. Easy. The second is that we sell a block of hours. We normally do those in blocks of 10 hours, and what we actually do is we offer a very slight discount on the rate, the hourly rate, in order to try and entice the client to do this. And then we take the time for doing those tweaks or fixes off that block of hours, and the rest of the time remains on account with us. So should the client come back for anything else, then we can take that time into account. Now, the joy of this approach is that we get paid up front for these, because, you know, you want us to do these three things on your website? Great. Well, look, here's a block of 10 hours. Here's your invoice for those 10 hours. You pay the invoice, we get on with the work. Easy days. So that's how we deal with small tasks. But in both of these instances, time tracking is the key. And the way we do that is that we use Clockify to track all of our time on all of our projects. And we have Zaps setups to create the projects in Clockify when we create things in ClickUp to manage the tasks. Now, just for full transparency, ClickUp does have its own time tracking functionality, and we have used it before, but we prefer Clockify. I say personally, our team prefers Clockify. And actually, when we set this process up, it was before ClickUp had time tracking built in. So now that it does have it, we've sort of already got our process set up in one way. We're all happy with it, so why change? So that's why we don't do the time tracking directly in ClickUp. But that gives us a full oversight of all the time that's spent on every project. And when it comes to either charging by the hour or selling a block of hours, we can it's dead easy for us to manage. Now, sometimes we do get clients that specifically want us to give a quote for a very small piece of work, and we do have to kick back and say we don't do that. And the reason we don't do that is that by treating anything as a live project, that, on its own merit, that incurs a number of processes in our agency that take some time. So actually, if you're asking for us for just a very quick fix to your website, and you want us to do that as a project, then we're going to have to add at least an hour, if not 90 minutes, to that time for all of the project management, setting it up on the systems, getting it scheduled by the account manager, getting it into the developer resource, testing it, coming out the other end, generating the invoice. That all adds to that time. So actually, we've given you two options by which those charges don't get billed onto you. So that's why we're not going to give you a quote, because we have two options that you can choose. So which one would you like? And that's the way we handle those requests. So that's how we deal with very small projects like tweaks or fixes. The next thing we talk about is mid-sized projects. So a mid-sized project I'm classing as something like a smallish, relatively straightforward website. You know the kind of thing. 6 pages, 3 templates, contact form, that sort of thing. Now, I say straightforward. It's straightforward to us, but we do need to make sure we're communicating to the client exactly what it is that we are going to be delivering. So we have a template for our estimates, and in there, we itemize all of the deliverables as far as we can reasonably project them. And that includes things like the number of templates, the total number of pages, any additional or modular functionality. So insurance calculator on there or something. So it's not necessarily linked to a template, but it's got its own time pool of work to be done. Our process in terms of design, development, and review, maybe even a keystone schedule, a key milestone schedule even, depending on the size of the project. And we also include a list of things that we're not going to be doing. So that might be things like population, if you expect your client to do that. We also include in there an allowance for training and an allowance for project management, like I've just said up above, that we take all that into account, and they're all itemized in our template. So it's quite easy for us to whip through and take things out, assign the figures as necessary, change the number of templates, whatever it might be, to put together that estimate. We then have a clause in our terms of the estimate that reads like this. So Digital Communications has attempted within all possible reason to make this estimate as accurate as possible. Should anything unforeseen arise or the scope of the project change, So reserves the right to amend this estimate at any time in line with our standard studio rate of X. And we put in our hourly rate in there. So between the mix of those two things, that gives us the structure of putting down exactly what it is we're going to deliver and what we're not going to deliver, and then the ability to change that price or revise the estimate should we need to if the client starts playing silly beggars, essentially. The final thing to note on this is, I hope you've noticed already, we send estimates. We do not send quotes. We don't want to be held captive to anybody withholding payment from us because they've gone and loaded on an extra 15 tasks on our plate and they're not going to pay the original bill even though we're now doing more work. We don't play that game. So we send estimates and not quotes. And in the UK at least, that actually gives us a different standing in law. I'm not a lawyer, so please seek your own legal advice. That gives us a different standing in law should we need to go and try and recover bad debt. So that's why we send estimates and not quotes. And I recommend you do the same. But again, if you're in other parts of the world, you may need to just check with how that works in your own legal standings. Right, let's move on to large projects. So for large projects, I'm generally talking about projects that are 5 figures or more. And the way that we deal with these projects is that when we're initially asked to quote or to estimate for the project, we only provide an indicative estimate. And the very first item on that indicative estimate is something called a scoping exercise. And that's the only fixed price on there. And we normally charge 2 or 3 days for a scoping exercise. What we do through that exercise is we sit down with the client. We like to do it face-to-face, but in the way the world's gone in the last few months, a lot more of this has happened online. And we get down to grips with what the scope of the project is. So that might be doing some research into the APIs we need to integrate with. It might be interviewing the key stakeholders with the client. It might be doing some focus group research. It could be a whole load of things. But we work together as a team from our agency and the client in order to put together the scoping documentation. At the other end of this process, what we generate is 4 things. The first is a design specification document. So one of our design team is part of the process, and their job is to gather all of the information they need to put together a full design specification. So we have an itemized list. It's more like a sort of explanation document, I suppose. It normally runs to 3 or 4 pages of what exactly we're going to design, what the colors are, where the logo type is, all of that kind of stuff. The second thing we produce is a technical specification document, which is basically the other half of the design specification. So that outlines exactly what it is we're going to be building, how we're going to build it, which APIs we're going to use, how we're going to integrate with them, what methods we're using, etc., etc., etc. The third thing we produce is an information architecture. So a bit like a flow chart or a family tree of the web app or the website that we're building. And that can, of course, be referenced by both of the documents above it. And then the fourth thing that we produce is our revised estimate. And the estimate is linked to those design specification and technical specification documents. So should anything change in those documents, or should the client ask for something that isn't itemized in those documents, then likewise the estimate can change. Now, 9 times out of 10, that's absolutely fine. And, you know, we just proceed and the estimate's agreed and off we go. The project gets done. That's the price that's paid. Happy days. Occasionally, with any client, you know, something can come up. That means that you know something is going to change. The bigger the project gets, the more likely something unforeseen is going to crop up. And you know what? That means that we can go back to the client and say, look, we hadn't anticipated XYZ for whatever reason. So because of that, that's not covered in our estimate. So we're going to treat this either as a small project with by the hour charging or a block of hours, or we're going to charge it as a mid-sized project, and here's the estimate for that. But either way, we've already got the processes in place to handle those requests as they come through. Hope that makes full sense. And if you've been listening to that correctly, yes, we do charge in order to write the final estimate for a large project. We charge as part of the scoping exercise. Right, finally, retainers. Now, I don't want to get into the discussion here about value-based pricing, but every time we've looked at pricing our retainers, we always come back to a time-based model. It just seems to make the most sense, and it helps us with our sales. It means we don't have to go justifying prices to clients as part of the sales process. So, you know, I'll happily have a discussion with somebody about it, but that's the way we've decided to do it. So that's how it works. That means that each month the client has X many hours assigned to them in Clockify, and through our time allocation and time tracking, we can then see it as that time is deducted each month. The way our retainers kind of work, just for full transparency here, is that around about the beginning of a new month, maybe it's just towards the end of the previous one, we will have a meeting with the client, and the purpose of that meeting is to review what the work that has been done, look at the results, and then decide what's going to be done for the next 30 days. So let's say a client 2 weeks later then rings up with an urgent piece of work that has to be done right now, and we're the only people that can do it. We'd be really helping them out, getting them out of a hole. We've all heard those excuses hundreds of times before, I'm sure. So our discussion with them is simple. So either we look at the list of what we're going to do this month. We can see what's already been done. So what we're going to shift, what's going to give, you know, which are the jobs that we agreed 2 weeks ago that we can now move to next month, in which case we'll accommodate it, no problem. Alternatively, we could look at running this through as a small project, either charging by the hour or with a block of hours, or if it's a little bit of a bigger task, then we can run it through as a mid-sized project. But we've already got those processes in place, so guess what? It's dead easy. So that's how we deal with things on our retainers as well. I hope you found this session really useful. If you've got any queries about how any of this works, or you'd like to talk about scope creep within your business, within your agency, please drop into our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. You'll find us that way, and we'd be delighted to have a conversation with you. And I look forward to speaking with you next week.